We are on a classical music tour on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kahn. Thanks for being here. We're listening to Symphony No. 3 by John Sibelius, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. The UW-Eau Claire Symphony is performing this piece tonight. Are you going? Which classical music groups should people be talking about? What groups do you hope to see live? Are your favorite composers having their music performed here in Wisconsin? Join in, all things classical music, 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is the host of WPR's Afternoon Classics each weekday and the producer and host of Wisconsin Classical. She's been part of the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus for over 30 years. And I have to tell you, she's a foodie. You can find her in our break room getting our reaction to her latest culinary creations that she shares from time to time on Central Time's Food Friday segment. Lori, thanks for coming by.
I'm on till 9 o'clock, right? Because we're going to need that much time
we're
to talk
need,
about.
We're going to need hours.
Yeah.
We need hours, right?
Which is, it's so lovely. Wisconsin has this embarrassment of riches when it comes to classical music. You just have to know where to look for it.
Well, there is just a groundswell of classical music concerts around this time of year. There's the holidays coming up. But there are universities all around us.
Absolutely.
Is this the time of year to get out to concerts on campuses?
Because, of course, for students and student ensembles, they've had a couple of months to get to work together and get new things ready for performance. Faculty concerts can be found throughout the year, but yes, there is a tendency for students to kind of pile up at the end of the semester because they want to show off what they've learned. It's an amazing time if you are near any of our colleges or universities. There's bound to be somebody doing something.
Well, and it's also fun when the faculty have concerts that come up from time to time because they are often doing some really cutting-edge stuff.
Especially if it's their own music. And another thing that happens with faculty is, of course, they're in contact with their colleagues all over the world. Faculty concerts are a great way to find out what somebody in Bali is doing, combining their traditional instruments with Western classical. There's a great deal of what we call crossover. That used to be kind of a dirty word in classical music. But for me, when I'm finding different cultures are sharing a lot of their traditions and finding out, well, how does it work with a different kind of sound? Can I play this folk melody and set it for an orchestra, or vice versa? Is there something that is part of the Western canon that really sounds cool on a Balkan folk string instrument?
You never know until you try.
And classical music through a faculty concert through the universities is a great way to find out.
And sometimes you can get a front row seat at these concerts. Just saying.
Sometimes... This is really interesting. Sometimes people are a little bit nervous about sitting close, especially if it's a chamber concert, because you can almost read the music on the stand. You definitely can notice the performers as they breathe, as they look at one another. You almost feel like you're a little too close. For some people, they want a little bit of distance. So I do understand if you don't necessarily want to sit up front. That said, if you do, I mean, come on. We're live people who are performing this music. We want to see the expression on your faces. We want to know how we've touched you.
We are exploring upcoming classical music concerts with Lori Skelton. She's the host of Afternoon Classics here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in. What performances are on your radar before the end of the year? Are you a classical musician? Is this a busy time of year for you? Share a piece of your world with us. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lori, tomorrow night, the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra is performing with a guest violinist, Igor Pekazin. They're performing Violin Concerto in A Minor. That's Dvorak. And let's listen to a little piece of that from the Royal Scottish National Orchestra with violinist Rachel Barton Pine. is so gorgeous.
It truly is. We've been lucky that Rachel Barton Pine has had some great conversations with Norma Gilliland on the Midday. She's a stunning performer.
She's a rock star.
And such an ambassador for classical music, again, of all kinds.
Well, Pakhazin describes himself as a Russian-American violinist who's toured, you know, all through Europe and Asia, North America, South America, and he made his concert debut at age 8 with the Moscow Philharmonic. But how often do international performers come to relatively smaller cities here in Wisconsin?
A lot. Because for your big name soloists, and it doesn't matter if it's vocal or instrumental, your calendar is planned years in advance. If smaller ensembles don't have the opportunity to make those kind of plans, it's harder to book a big-name soloist. So it's obviously somebody who isn't quite a household name yet looking for concert opportunities. It's a great way for them to get to know concert touring in America. It's a great way for audiences to get to know. Two of my favorite examples of what happens when a lesser-known artist shows up. She was 16 at the time. Hilary Hahn, who is now a world-class, stunning soloist, made her debut at the Madison Symphony Orchestra when she was 16.
No kidding.
And this was in the 90s. So this was one case of, here's this kid. Yeah, she's pretty talented. And we get to say, we knew her when. another wonderful worldwide loved
That's
violinist.
That's one of those moments where it's like, why doesn't she return our phone calls anymore, right?
Well, if you follow her on Facebook, as I do, aside from the concert tours, she's got a kid. She's a little busy right now.
A little busy.
Another one that hits really close to home, James Ennis, Canadian violinist, again, loved around the world right now. He got his start in Wisconsin playing the Peninsula Music Festival. This was in the early 2000s. We were lucky enough to carry that concert live. And I heard from young violinists who heard that concert and just were lit up by how great he was. And that, yeah, somebody this good is coming to Wisconsin and not Madison or Milwaukee. They were just thrilled.
So even the audience came out in droves just to really react to that.
Just because someone isn't a household name doesn't mean they don't have the chops. And yes, very often it's having that fresh take on maybe even an old favorite piece coming from this young kid who you've never heard of. And suddenly, I didn't realize you could phrase that wonderful melody like that. And yeah, it's an incredible thrill to catch new people on the way up.
WPR's classical music host Lori Skelton is our guide as we listen to Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy and performed by Martin Jones. The Civic Symphony of Green Bay is performing this piece tonight at Meyer Theater, along with other well-known pieces such as Can-Can from Orpheus in the Underworld. Are you planning to attend that show or another classical music concert this month? Join in our conversation at any point this hour. We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment, there's more Wisconsin Weekend with classical music here on the Ideas Network. It is Wisconsin Weekend. We're listening to classical music. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're on a tour through our state as we hear lyric for viola and orchestra composed by Gustav Holst. The Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra is performing that tonight. Are you planning to see orchestras in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Eau Claire, or in your community? What holiday concerts are a tradition for your family? Join in 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton from Afternoon Classics on WPR is our guide. Lori, let's talk about chambers here for a moment. Where are some of your favorite chamber groups in the state, and what are they like?
Well, they're all over the state. That's another lovely thing about having this great, rich opportunity for people to get together. Chamber music can be an established group. One of my favorites is the Prometheus Trio from the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music in Milwaukee. Started out as a husband and wife duo of cello and piano, and then they added a violin, and they're stunning performers. I'm a real fan of a group that started in Madison. They're a percussion chamber group.
Okay.
They're called Clocks in Motion, and it's definitely not your standard Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, but it's fascinating music, and I absolutely adore them.
I love their name.
Yeah, they're a fun group, what they started off as a student ensemble at UW-Madison, and they've since gone on to have this incredible touring. They get together a couple of times a year, and then they hit each other's individual states. Same thing happened with a group called Sotto Voce, which, of course, means quiet. Mm-hmm. But that was a tuba ensemble.
Yeah.
And they started at UW-Madison, student ensemble. And, I mean, these guys, they do everything from arrange Elizabethan dance music to play, Frank Zappa. They're fun, but incredibly serious musicians.
Well, Door County's Summer Chamber Fest created a resident string quartet that performs year-round. Their next show coming up Monday with more performances in mid-December. Can you tell us about that quartet?
This is such a great idea. The folks at Midsummer's Music are musicians from the Chicago area, Milwaukee, Madison. They get together and they perform all around Door County throughout the summer. But of course, they have their professional lives during the school year. They need to get back to that. Last year, a combination of Midsummer's Music, the Fine Arts Institute at East High in Green Bay, and St. Norbert College got together. They created a resident string quartet for Door County. They're called the Griffin Quartet, and they do concerts, as you would expect, but they also show up at the Y. They show up at libraries. They show up, occasionally they'll pop into a Door County business.
It's like quartets for the people.
And exactly. And it's a quartet that performs. It's a quartet that is very engaged in music education, but definitely takes a little bit of the starch out of classical music. I cannot speak highly enough of, first of all, the group itself, and the great minds that said, you know what, we've got this marvelous tradition of chamber music in Door County in the summer. We need to keep it going.
We need
throughout.
To grow this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just such a fascinating idea. So if you go to the Midsummer's Music website, midsummersmusic.com, there is a separate tag for the Griffin String Quartet. And yes, they've got this huge concert calendar. A very informal, but still really high-quality music.
We're exploring upcoming classical music concerts with Lori Skelton. She's host of Afternoon Classics on WPR. And you can join in. Are you a musician with a concert performance coming up? Which composition will you be performing, and what do you love about it? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's talk about next week. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra has several performances of Mozart's Requiem. It's billed as one of the most sublime pieces of music ever written. And I want to hear a piece from 1999. It's a recording by the Berlin Philharmonic. Lori, why is Mozart's Requiem so highly regarded in classical music? What do you hear there?
Exaudi orationem meam. Hear my prayer, O Lord. sometimes if that's a sentiment you're feeling, it can feel very lonely. You hear that chorus, all those different voices melding together with the support of an orchestra. And I think somehow you're reminded, no, I'm not in this alone. The Mozart Requiem is so many different things. The music is glorious, sometimes quite painful, sometimes quite dramatic, sometimes beautifully soothing. And then, of course, there is the historical significance that this is the last music Mozart wrote. Mm. If you've seen the movie Amadeus, it's not quite the way it happened in the film. But it, we do have notes from Mozart's wife that she got together a small group of singers who sang him pieces of it when he was on his deathbed. So there's that element as well. It's a requiem that for many people is probably their first opportunity to hear what the old-fashioned masses would have sounded like. If that's not part of your spiritual tradition, you can still appreciate the music for the music's sake. I know a lot of atheists who are more than happy to be in a chorus singing a requiem mass just because even if you don't necessarily believe word for word everything you're singing, you know the composer did. And you know all of the souls over all of the years since then who have found solace in those words, in that music. You can't help but feel you're a part of an amazing spiritual tradition, even if it's not your own.
Let's bring in a call now. Mark joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Kate and Lori. How are you?
Wonderful.
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I'm a 53-year-old male living in Green Bay, and I'm learning how to play piano. And I was going to lessons last night at one of the local music shops. And while I was waiting, I was looking at the board, and they have these banners about upcoming events in the Green Bay, or the Symphony of Green Bay, as you mentioned, is playing tonight. And Claire de Lune is one of the songs on the list, and you played it this morning. It was just amazing. This, I've seen the Civic Symphony last year when they invited my son's orchestra from Bayport to play with them, and they are truly amazing. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Birch Creek. Birch Creek is just one of your sponsors.
Yes.
They are just a wonderful gift up in Northeast Wisconsin. But thanks for your show this morning. It's been really amazing.
Mark, what caused you to start wanting to play piano?
I love piano music, and I've always wanted to play it. When I was growing up, I didn't even learn how to read music, and so it's always been a desire of mine. And so, I bought an electric piano and decided to take lessons, and so it's been a real gift for me.
So when you learn to play Claire de Lune, will you let us know?
I absolutely will, Lori. Thank you.
Okay. That's a great piece on the piano, even though it sounds good with the orchestra, too.
Mark, thanks so much for coming in, for calling in. So, Lori, let's move on to another part of the state. The Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra has a fall concert and another one of their Beethoven events. Right. Okay. I have to understand place here. These are fundraisers where youth musicians play Beethoven at local breweries. Mm-hmm. Have you heard something like this before?
This is happening more and more often. And I have to thank cellist Matt Heimovitz for starting this. This is a young man, serious musician, who started playing the Bach cello suites in bars. I mean, at one point he was playing it at CBGB's in New York. and his whole point was, you need to hear this music, and you don't have to get dressed up for it. And I don't think anybody spilled a beer on the cello, but it certainly could happen. There are more and more opportunities, whether it's at a pub or a coffee shop. Again, the idea that it doesn't need to be an hours-long concert commitment. If you want to hear just a little bit of music, we will come to you. So it's
in a perfect acoustic environment.
Okay. Now, here you're getting into a whole new... What is a perfect acoustic environment? Do you want to be right up close and hear every single note and hear every single breath and hear every single key pop? Do you want to be hearing the hall as well? There's a lot of ways to listen to live classical music, and more power to any musician who's going to give you that opportunity.
WPR classical music host Lori Skelton stays with us through the hour as we explore classical music for the season here in Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. We've got the news with some Beethoven without the beer. This is Piano Sonata No. 17, performed by Andra Schiff. More Wisconsin Weekend ahead here on the Ideas Network. Here with us for Wisconsin Weekend, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A note on coverage here, the public hearings of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump continue this morning. We're carrying live coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio on our NPR News and Classical Music Network. You can also listen online at WPR.org. Right now, though, we're on a classical music journey with WPR's Afternoon Classics host, Lori Skelton. She's giving us a preview of concerts all over the state. What concerts are a holiday favorite for your family? Are you in a chorus or symphony with upcoming dates? Share your plans, your concerts, 800-642-1234. And Lori stays with us through the hour. Let's go to the phones now. Chris is joining us from Clayton, Iowa. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad.
What are you wondering about?
What I want to comment, it's not really a classic, but it's we see this Vic Ferrari, and it's Symphony on the Rocks, and they travel all summer around. They they help out down in Richland Center. They have a symphony down there. And it's a bunch of teachers and students and things like that. And they travel around, and then they're in Alaska for the 4th of July, and they're real awesome. And it's just different, a symphony that plays rock and roll from the 80s and things. And it's just pretty neat. I just want to give them a little plug.
It's more than the 80s. They've got the Beatles on their set list.
You're kind of familiar with them then. Yeah, I was just kind of throwing that out there.
Well, let's put
Yeah, they play a lot. Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. One of the things that I still love to listen to is ELO. And this is a group. Jeff Lynne decided we need more than guitars. We need cellos and violins on stage with us. Combining classical and rock. Everybody has tried it, some more successfully than others. I know the London Symphony has put out recordings of Led Zeppelin. This sounds like an absolutely fantastic show. There's a multimedia element to it, isn't there?
Yes, very much.
Okay, so you do need to be in an area where you can do the video projections and the... So this is an opportunity to hear...
Not really so much, yeah. Yeah, but, they don't... And then they also have... like when they go out, and then they don't have the symphony with them all the time. But when they went to, like, say, Waverly, Iowa, we followed them right one time. And he student taught there. And he got people from the students from the high school up there in the horns, and they got up there and played.
Awesome.
He really gets a lot of community involvement.
And that is happening more and more with regular orchestras around the state. If there is a youth orchestra in the community, they have what's called a play-along concert. You're finding that more and more throughout Wisconsin. So whether it's straight classical or classical and rock, again, great way for everybody to get involved.
Thanks so much, Chris. Keep on following them. Speaking of projection, Lori, there are several opportunities before the end of the year. I think you like my segue here. to see music performed from movies while those movies are playing in the background. The Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra is planning one of these in early December. Milwaukee Symphony is doing Home Alone on December 1st, and then two shows of Harry Potter in mid-December. And that is Potter Waltz, composed by Patrick Doyle from the 2004 film Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. So what is this experience like with these movie concerts?
The first time I heard about it, I thought, oh, yeah, right. Everybody's just going to be watching the movie. Nobody's going to be paying attention to the orchestra. Boy, was I wrong. The Milwaukee Symphony did Home Alone for the first time 4 years ago. I lost track of the number of people who came up to me and said, I brought my kid so we could watch the movie on, you know, on a huge screen. And my kid wouldn't stop talking about the orchestra on the way home from the concert. That you're getting the opportunity to understand what it means when you hear that tiny little celesta in the background when somebody is creeping up and trying to surprise somebody. Or what happens when something really great happens and E.T. and Elliot are flying across the moon and suddenly every member of the orchestra is just playing their hearts out. You suddenly understand.
The orchestra surges as E.T. goes up into the air.
And you suddenly get it. Oh, this, there is a real powerful impact. Not just the visual, but what I'm hearing does tie into emotions. And when you actually see the orchestra do it, it really does light people up. I hated to say that I poo-pooed the idea at first. And now, especially when it's kids making the connection between what they see and what they hear, it's magical.
So is the atmosphere like a movie theater with the popcorn and the candy and, you know,
Eline Hall in Milwaukee or the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, that's a lot of seats, and that would be an awful lot of spilled popcorn to clean up. I don't think it's going to be quite that informal.
Okay.
That said, if you want to applaud when certain things happen in Home Alone, go right ahead. Go ahead, laugh, cheer, cry if you want to, if it's a certain part of Goblet of Fire. Go ahead and be emotional. There is a little bit of concert etiquette for a lot of people. Yes, you're in a room with hundreds of people. You don't necessarily want everybody tapping their fingers or stamping their feet when it's a very intense, dramatic symphony. But if it's a movie, come on, we're all in this together. Let's go ahead and loosen up.
We're exploring upcoming classical music concerts with Laurie Skelton. She's host of Afternoon Classics on WPR. And you can join in. Are you a musician or composer or classical music fan? What concerts should we know about? Join in the conversation anytime this hour, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jack from Hammond called in, couldn't stay with us. Jack is a teacher and wanted to make sure that people remember to support their local high school orchestras.
Absolutely.
What are the high schools doing?
You name it, they're doing it. I have an opportunity to work with some of the folks at Hal Leonard every year getting their high school music prepared. And this is where you're probably going to be hearing some of the newest composers. You're definitely going to be hearing a chance for combining cultures again. That's happening a lot in choral music where different texts from different countries are being brought into high school choirs. I got lucky when I was in my tiny high school in Williams Bay. There were only 32 people in my graduating class, but we had a first class concert band. Thank you, John Nur. And we did some pretty difficult music, and we knew the community was behind us. You know, and then we'd of course turn around and play pep band for the basketball team. It's you name it. High schools are doing it. Kids are curious. Kids want to explore their world, and what better way to do it than through music?
Well, let's look further ahead on the calendar. Orchestras in Milwaukee, Madison, Sheboygan, other cities, they're planning concerts of Handel's Messiah. And we're going to listen to a 1983 recording of the English Baroque soloists with the Monteverde Choir.
Such child is born.
the piece For Unto Us a Child Is Born. Lori, you are their arms all going with the music. Well, you know, why has...
It's a little too early in the morning for me to be singing this, but this is one of the best parts in the Messiah, this particular chorus for me.
What do you love about it?
Well, For Unto Us a Child Is, and then you sing Born on measure after measure after measure of notes. That's called a melisma. It's difficult. You need intense breath control. You need intense vocal control. But it's like skiing down the really challenging slope. There's twists and turns, and you're going faster, and you just build up this energy. Melismas are fun to sing. Flat out, they're, once you get it down, they're fun. And then you've got this lovely idea of in choral music and in Baroque music, when you're throwing around the same melody back and forth, and you sing the melody, and then you back up so that the tenors can sing the melody, and then you back up so that the bassist can sing the melody. Baroque music is elaborate and highly technical, and when you're doing it right, it should feel transparent in passages like what we just heard. And then you can turn around and bring out full, big brass chords, and it's thrilling. Handel was, above all things, highly tuned into what was theatrical. He wrote oratorios. He wrote operas. He worked in Germany. He worked in London. He was really keyed into what does the public want for entertainment that also happens to be just technically challenging, really good music. Handel was amazing in creating all of that in one show.
So he really kind of knew his audience.
Handel's Messiah, believe it or not, was written as a charity piece. It was written to raise money for a foundling hospital in Dublin. What did he do? He picked a text that everybody would know, The Life of the Messiah. It's in three sections. The first one is technically the one that you play at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we follow up with the Passion, with the Easter story. But because the Hallelujah chorus is in the second part, a lot of people tend to just do the whole thing at Christmas, because who doesn't want to stand up with the Hallelujah chorus?
We are on a classical music tour across Wisconsin, and we have Lori Skelton, the host of Afternoon Classics on WPR, as our guide. You can join in, 800-642-1234. This is called Somewhere in My Memory, the main title from Home Alone by composer John Williams. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Stop. No, it is only November 15th. We cannot play Sleigh Ride yet. How about some Schubert? How about some Brahms? Brahms. Uh-huh. That works. Hungarian Dance, number 5, Johannes Brahms. Very solid. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are on a tour of classical music concerts this hour with Lori Skelton, the host of Afternoon Classics on WPR. We're having a blast. What performances are on your radar before the end of the year? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Lori, Milwaukee's Festival City Jamboree has a concert on December 4th. It's called Holiday Pajama Jamboree. Can you explain the pajamas and the jamboree? What's going on here?
Yep. Festival City Symphony has two concert series, adult concerts on Sundays, and then three times a year on a Wednesday evening, they do an hour-long concert that's geared for family. And yes, especially if you're bringing a younger kid. If you know you're going straight to bed after this, go ahead, wear your jammies, bring your blanket, bring your teddy bear, especially if you want to spread out your blanket and sit right up close with the orchestra.
Oh, you can?
Yes. This is in Bradley Pavilion at the Marcus Center in Milwaukee. And there's conventional seating for those who wish to sit in a chair. But if you want to spread out your blanket and just lie back with your teddy bear and listen to the music, this is a perfect way to introduce younger children to.
That is a total game changer for families.
There you go.
You know, you don't have to be confined to the seat. You can spread out. You can, you know, sit on the ground, which is what kids like to do.
Yep. And if you feel so moved, if you're sitting on your blanket and you want to get up and dance, go right ahead. I know they're in past pajama jamborees, they've even planned it so that the last piece on the program is a march, and everybody is supposed to get up and march out of the hall with the orchestra playing them out.
I love it. I love it. So WPR has an events calendar on our website, WPR.org, with a whole slew of classical music concert listings. How is that information compiled?
Sadly, we can't do this for the ensemble. Anybody is welcome to post an event on the events calendar. There's even a separate calendar for folk music events. But you have to post it. And it's very easy to find on our website, WPR.org/events. You go to that page and you'll see a link right at the top. Submit us a concert for consideration. You fill out the events form. Hit the send button, and we check it for spelling errors, and then we get it up online. So you, the ensemble, you, the performer, you still need to get us the information. But once you've hit the send button, you've got an opportunity to get your event on our events calendar. I mentioned that on Sundays with Wisconsin Classical because, frankly, most Sundays I don't have enough time to talk about everything that's coming up in 1 hour. And so I mean, this is Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network. We talk to one another on the Ideas Network. We've got an interactive calendar. You can talk to everybody about your event, WPR.org/events.
I want to land on you, Lori, in this last minute. You have been singing in the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus for decades. What makes a great audience?
Believe it or not, it's not the audience that's absolutely stock still as if this were something that you can't touch, you can't breathe on. The best audiences are the ones that come to be an active part of a concert. Yes, there is an element about going to a concert, especially if you've had a hard week, you want somebody to take you out of yourself. There is the tendency to want to just sit back and, you know, entertain me. You know, you do all the work, musicians. The best audiences are the ones that come engaged. I'm not saying you have to be a classical music expert, but if you want to read the program notes ahead of time, that's great. But best audiences are the ones that watch the musicians, that occasionally breathe with the musicians. If you're sitting forward in your seat rather than back, that to me is the mark of a fine audience member. You've come to be part of the concert even if you're not performing.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Lori Skelton is the host of Afternoon Classics, which airs weekdays on WPR News and Classical Channels. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Our friends, to the best of our knowledge, bring us the story of a Wisconsin woman who gave her kidney to a stranger.
Last year in March, on Facebook, there was a little girl in our town that needed a kidney. My daughter looked at me, she goes, "You know, Mom, you would match up with her blood type." So I called the hospital where she was working through, and that's how the process started.
This is Missy McKenna.
I had to go through all these blood tests and all these tests and everything. And then they tell me the little girl, she had gotten a kidney and that her transplant was going forward. And I felt like gone so far through the process. I said, okay, that's fine. I've come this far. I'm not going to stop.
This is such an incredible story, an incredible case.
This is Missy's surgeon, Josh Mesrich.
I have so many donors tell me this is the best thing they've ever done. And of course, that's my goal.
To lose a kidney?
That part.
Why do they think it's the best thing they've ever done?
Because they're saving these lives. It really is. It is like the kind of person who would run into a burning building to save someone. Now, the donors do really well. When you look at the numbers, the risks are low, but it's still surgery. It's still this leap of faith. There's going to be a recovery. There's going to be pain. Who has a month out of their life that they can go through this? But I do want to be clear, our donors do very, very well, and I hope your listeners will get to hear it. All right, so this is the operating room. There's our patient, actually.
Missy, how are you?
Put it right on your face and let you just fill those lungs up with that good stuff.
Once a surgery starts, it really is this puzzle. You're really focused on doing the case. You're not thinking at all about, my gosh, this is a person with kids or with parents or something like that. I think when things go disastrously wrong, then you start to get these moments of thinking about their family. But during an operation, you're really focused on the task at hand. You almost don't feel like you're operating on a human. You're just trying to put the puzzle together.
Psoas to the right, diaphragm in front of us, kidney to our right, spleen to the left. We're past the adrenal now. He just doesn't want to stick his blade into the diaphragm. It takes 1 millisecond to put a hole in the diaphragm with the harmonic. We're almost ready to start flipping the kidney. We're in really good shape.
I think every surgeon has to have this proverbial box. And in this box, you can kind of put your complications and you can keep them there. You need to be able to close that box so you can go home and be with your family, be with your kids, and not just be constantly agonizing. But you also need to be able to open that box and be with the patient, see them every day and say, we're going to get through this.
Once we get the kidney out, we'll move it to the back, flush it. That's critical. Once it's flushed and on ice, then we can relax. All right, are we good? Is everyone good? We got everyone we need? Push down all the way across. I think you're great there, dude. Perfect. Fire in the hole. Love that. There it is, left kidney, 2 arteries. I'm happy with it, Clark. I think it looks great. It'll fly across the country, and then it'll get plugged in, and it'll start working right away. It's just awesome.
You know, that's amazing. I always want to help people. So I'm glad that I could save somebody's life. You know, I guess being a part of somebody else, I don't even think about it. I just hope that their life is more enjoyable.
This story about kidney donation came from our friends at To the Best of Our Knowledge from WPR and PRX. It was produced by Shannon Henry Kleiber. To hear the full story, and trust me, you do, go to ttbook.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.